1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until three today. Jane Purcell, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie.
Jane, you've been watching Love Island.
Yes. Well, I don't watch the full program. I was just flicking the other night. I did watch it when the Higgins girl, Maura Higgins, was on it because it was hilarious with her comments and so. But I think it should be really called Fake Island because the girls there have fake boobs, nails, eyelashes, eyebrows, lip fillers and tiny waists, and they wear the smallest itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny bikinis, as the song goes. And I think it's very fake. And they're beautiful girls. I'm not saying anything wrong about the girls themselves, but they don't need to wear all that. I mean, the girls today, when I was young, Katie, you know, you were in between styles even at the time. I'm an old pensioner now, but I know it's really for young people, that programme. But, you know, they're beautiful-looking girls, and above all, they've beautiful teeth. People of my age didn't look after their teeth, and they don't need all that falseness. And I really think it should be called Fake Island.
But what's wrong with it, though, Jane?
No, but I'm not saying they have a right to wear what they like, but I don't think the girls, they don't need any of that. You know, they don't, because they're beautiful as they are.
But
you know, and I think, I mean, they spend a lot of money on that, and they're influenced by Fake Island again, or Love Island, because they're looking at these perfect figures, and it's a bit false to me, and it's given a bad impression to young teenagers who is very impressionable.
Do you think that, I'm just wondering, like, what's the problem with it, and you think that it's putting forward the notion that you have to look like this if you're a young woman now.
Yeah, and tiny waist, and they're all going on dice, and they want to look like that. And I think that's a terrible pity, really, you know. They're beautiful as they are, and if they had more confidence in themselves, it'd be far better than all that fakeness.
Yeah, now, I don't know, because you say you've only kind of been flicking in and out, but there was actually a big discussion about this very issue on Love Island on one of the nights this week.
Yeah.
Where one of the...
The contestants, yeah, the gentleman on it, yeah.
Yeah, we'll explain to people what happened if people aren't as tuned in as some might be into this. I think we might have a clip, actually. Yeah, we might have a clip of this... incident in relation to an incident about whether or not girls were fake on the programme.
I get it. If you're not into fake stuff or girls that look really fake, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if for me, you don't know the reasons why had stuff done. And
for
I think that's really unfair. Like, I would never turn around to a guy and be like, I wouldn't date you because of your height.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't date you because of your race.
Yeah. I didn't mean it as a personal barrage, which I know it has come across as.
Okay, that was poor Hugo, who is kind of, I think, generally seen as the sweetest of the boys on Love Island.
I mean, the girl, I mean, she's talking about his height. I mean, you can't do anything about your height. You're not going to build yourself up as regards your height. And that was a stupid comment to me. But I think it should be called Fake Island.
But Hugo had said, because they were asking all the boys that, you know, what do they like? What did they find attractive in girls? And Hugo said he didn't like girls that looked fake. And that's why those girls, as you heard there, Sharon and Faye,
yes,
were confronting him about that and saying, you know, that's really unfair for you to say that. And they really took that personally. And I know that I think one of them, I'm not sure, is it Faye, has revealed on that programme that she was very self-conscious about her figure when she was a teenager and that she hadn't developed like the other girls, and that for her 18th birthday, her parents gave her, as her 18th birthday gift, a boob job.
Well, I think her parents were really... I think that's ridiculous now. I mean, it'd be far better to send her to a counsellor or something like that to have confidence in her figure. And, you know, I mean, it is fake, I have to say, Anna. And, I mean, I feel sorry for young teenage girls looking at that programme, really. Because, I mean, if they had confidence in themselves, they'd like themselves as they are. You know, and that's, I mean, I know there's a lot of young teenagers looking at that and they're saying, oh, you know, I'll have to get false eyelashes, false boobs. And I mean, the parents, I think, in that case, were certainly silly to me. I mean, instead of building her up and saying she's beautiful as you are, and, you know, I know young teenagers, they're foolish in that sense, and they're, to me, they're, the girls today are really lovely as they are.
But I wonder, though, Jane, has that ship sailed long before Love Island came along? Because if you go on any social media platform, particularly Instagram, you know, that's what young girls are looking like now.
Yeah, and I mean, that girl that commented to the gentleman in Love Island last night or the night before, her lips were so obvious that there were fillers in them, you know. I mean, putting that as a sort of a poison, really, into their system to look beautiful. I mean, she did. The girls today, to me, and the most beautiful teeth. When I was young, I didn't look after my teeth like a lot of people of my age. But, you know, they're lovely. They don't need that. And they just need that to give them confidence. But that shouldn't be the case.
But where would you draw the line, Jane? Because I suppose all of us have some bits done. You know, you've dyed your hair. That's, you know, that's changing how you would naturally look. Say if you had, you mentioned your teeth. If you got crowns on your teeth or veneers, if you had an issue with your teeth, would you consider that a step too far?
No, I wouldn't.
So where do we start judging people for?
Well, I'm not judging them as such, but what I'm saying is they're beautiful as they are. And I think girls like that, they have to put all that false items on themselves. You know, if they went to a counsellor and their parents would, instead of giving them a voucher for a boob job, I mean, they should tell them they're beautiful and confident. Confidence is a big thing with teenagers. And if they had confidence in themselves, they wouldn't need all that falseness.
But isn't that what's happening now?
And because it's there. Yeah, I think it's such a pity.
Is it not just a kind of a stretch on from where we would have been, or young, you know, 20 years ago, where it would have been makeup that you know, there was rows with parents over how much makeup you'd be wearing.
Yeah.
But now the makeup has kind of progressed on to maybe Botox and, as you say, false eyelashes and fillers.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't know who that they're going to, really. They could be going to places where they're not really registered. And, you know, I think it's such a pity. And I really do think that parents should not allow it. Like that lady, whoever it was, gave the voucher for a boob job. I mean, instead of maybe going to a counsellor or something, and, you know, she didn't need that. Because if she had confidence in herself, in her figure, I know she may not have it, but if you know, especially parents, they should build up their children and tell them they're beautiful, you know. But I know girls follow the trend. I know that. I'm not condemning them for doing it. If they want to do it, do it. But I think it's such a pity.
What about the boys in the house in Love Island? Like, they're all buffed and tanned.
Oh, yeah,
and
they are. And they're all, what do you call, their tummy's all done, and I mean, there's no need for that at all. It's all fake, really, but, you know, as women, girls of a certain age look at that, and I'm no prude by any means, and I mean, to me, they don't need all that fakeness, and I would certainly title it Fake Island.
Right, will you stay there, Jane? I want to bring in Ava Van Rose. Ava, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how's things? How are you?
I'm good, Ava. Ava, you have been referred to, I see in print, as Ireland's most surgically enhanced woman.
Yes, that is a fact, and I have, yes.
Are you on speakerphone there, Ava?
I am. I'll turn it off.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind. It's just the sound would be better. Yeah, we'll hear you better. So, Ava, if you wouldn't mind just running through what you've had done.
So before we get into this, I want to be very respectful on that lady's comments. But to be quite honest, as she put it out, is she is a pensioner. Her view is on what she is referring to nowadays is completely dated and old-fashioned. And understandably, I believe that we as women and people in general have a right to our own bodies and what makes us happy. So I feel as though she's really set in her old-fashioned ways. Me, I am the mother of four children. I am 31 years of age and I have earned a living based off of my appearance and the amount of surgeries that I've had. I breastfed my children. I had all normal vaginal deliveries. My body had been stretched, tugged, and I was suicidal due to the fact that my body looked so bad after childbirth that I went and I got surgeries for that matter. Now, I hear that she's saying, you know, you should go and see a psychiatrist and be referred to mental health institutions, which I believe is absolutely ridiculous. Me, at 21, I started having surgeries because I couldn't look at myself naked in a mirror because my body was so misshaped over breastfeeding and carrying children naturally that I could not look at myself. How all my relationships were failing because I had no self-confidence. So it was not the fact that I would have needed mental health or I would have needed a psychiatrist. It would have been the fact that I couldn't look at my own body because it was so badly shaped. So therefore, why is any of these women being judged? I don't hear that men are being judged. If a man is extremely overweight and he wants to go to a gym and he wants to look good, how come the men are not being judged? You know what I mean? Is it because it's women? It's sexist, you know what I mean? And her views on that is from an old-fashioned era where it was okay for women to be put down and be sexified. You know, you weren't allowed to be attractive and sexual when you were a woman back in her day.
Have you, you know, the girls, obviously, we heard from that clip there, and anyone who was watching that show during the week of the Love Island show will know that the girls took it really badly, the idea that Hugo
absolutely
didn't like fake the fake look.
It's complete sexist. Like, a woman should have the right to do with her body as she wants because we are living in an era where feminism is culture. Like, back in that woman's day, with all due respect, and I'm trying to be respectful because she's an elderly pensioned woman, but I'm sorry, her views are so dated and old-fashioned. I, myself, I've had 2 breast augmentations, 2 bum augmentations. I've had liposuction. I've had a tummy tuck. I've had veneers. I have fake lips. I have Botox. And guess what? I feel absolutely brilliant about myself, looking at myself in the mirror, knowing that I am a successful mother of 4 children that has made an income based on my appearance and based that I am I'm feminist, and based on the fact that I believe that women are entitled to be as beautiful as they want, and if they decide they want to get something done with themselves after, I would not recommend anyone over the age of 21 to have surgery. I was 21 and I had had children, so for me, I had every reason to want to go to fix that. But I just believe that woman's views on that is, yes, we all should feel beautiful, but what if we don't physically feel beautiful? Are we not entitled as women to fix that instead of being judged by the elderly or people who don't believe that that's necessary?
Okay, Ava, let me ask Jane that. You know, Ava obviously has very strong views on this.
I respect Ava as well. I mean, she's entitled to have it, but to go through that length, to have surgery done, to have her boobs enlarged, her lips, her nails and her tummy. Now, you know, I think you're probably beautiful as you are, Ava. And I don't think you need that. Now, I'm not against you having it personally.
Thank you. And I do respect what you're saying. I respect that. And, you know, I was a pretty girl. But understandably, I wasn't a happy person. And no amount of psychiatry could have changed my appearance and my body. And the way I looked, a flab on my stomach after giving birth to my huge children. Or looking, like, I had to go after giving birth vaginally to 4 children. And I know we're talking on live TV, but I don't think vagina is a harsh word. But I had surgery on my vagina because I did not like the way it was shaped and stretched after my children. And I feel that that was my right to fix that because I wanted a body that I could love, you know, for the fact that I had done my duty as a woman and as a mother and I brought my children into the world. So why shouldn't I have that right to feel beautiful again?
So you now, Ava, you now have what they call a designer vagina.
I do. And it's beautiful.
Laughing, but it sounds crazy to me.
It's beautiful. I love my vagina.
No, Ava, before you had your children, how did you feel about your body?
I was very confident. I was 17 when I got pregnant on my first child, so I didn't get the chance to be able to grow into a proper adult and develop properly like normal people would have, or whatever you want to refer as normal people, but older people who would have taken precautions. So I was quite young. So understandably, I didn't get to appreciate my body, and I had baby after baby. And, you know, my body was slowly destroyed from childbirth. And my reasons, I have valid reasons to have wanted to have that, you know. And, you know, we're all different. We're all human beings, and women are all made different ways.
Do you think, though, Ava, can I just put you, that the main point of what Jane was worried about there is that, you know, if this is the only way that you can feel good about yourself, that you must look like this, you must look as good as you now look after all the work. I mean, it can't, I mean, it must be, there must be pain along with, you know, financial issues involved in the amount of surgery you've had. And is it right that is there an issue there if young girls feel that this, you know, you have to go to these lengths to look okay?
I am a role model to young girls. I have a massive following. I have been on multiple TV shows. I'm well known all across the world. Like, I have done so much in Ireland. So what I would put out there to young women especially is to consider the options of surgery beforehand. Allow for their bodies to grow, and that when they decide, if they decide to have a family first, that these are things that they should look into beforehand. I would never put to a young girl that this is how they would have to look or they need to do this. I put this out there because I have two young daughters myself. I have a 14-year-old and I have an 11-year-old. And both my daughters know that I have cosmetic surgery, and both my daughters are very well aware of the risks and going forward. But if my daughter, in all honesty, I've just heard that. If my daughter, I have one daughter and she's completely flat chested, and I have another daughter and she's 11 and she has quite a big chest. So my daughters are solar opposite. Now, I feel that for my children because we are living in an age where it is crucial to look a certain way, and you are judged and you are made fun of if you have a flat chest, and then you are made fun of if your chest is too big. So you don't win either way. But what my daughter needs to feel is to feel that, yes, okay, honey, when you come to an age and you stop growing as, you know, as a, like a, you're in your adolescent and you're coming into an adult, if you stop growing and that you feel so self-conscious about yourself, and this is hurting you as a person, because there's women nowadays and they commit suicide because of their appearance. Do I want my daughter to feel that pressure that she's not beautiful because this is what society has led us to as women? You know, this has led us to this, to want to be more beautiful. So don't get me wrong, it is an issue, but on my perspective as being a parent and someone who has a lot of surgery, my surgery is like, if my daughter comes to 21 and she is unhappy about herself and she feels that she would like to get cosmetic surgery, well, baby, I'm going to buy you your first boob job at 21 too. So I'm sorry, but I totally agree with what that girl has said on Love Island. Like, I would be like, whatever makes you feel good about yourself, baby, I'm there, and I'm going to be that mother who's going to support you to make you feel a better person so you can contribute to your life and be confident, because that is the key. Confidence is the key to everything in life. If you're not confident behind a keyboard, you know what I mean? You're not going to be any good on IT. If you're not confident that you're a good athlete, you're not going to compete, you know? So why would we take that away from our children for them to have confidence based on
let Jane get back in there, Eva. Thanks.
Sorry for interrupting, Eva, but I think confidence is something that you have. And if boobs, false boobs, nails, or whatever you've had done makes you feel better, that's fine for you. But I think it's given the wrong impression to other girls that might feel a little they're not sure and they might decide to go down that road.
Yeah, but understandably, honey, you're living in a completely different era. You're old school, and I appreciate that. I have a grandmother, I have parents, but you're...
Was it better then, though, Eva?
I certainly am. I'm not old-fashioned by any means in my ways,
yeah,
I can assure you.
Your views is completely dated, and I do not agree with what you're saying. Well, I'm trying to respect you as an elderly pension woman, but I'm sorry, you're not living in this era where we have this pressure nowadays.
But all girls don't have that.
I can't understand what you're getting at. You know what I mean? I can't understand your point of view.
Okay, can I let Marion in, please? Marion, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sarah. Sarah, I just feel so sad for this younger generation, really and truly, and to listen to that girl, four children and all that she had. And, you know, her language around all of that was so negative. No wonder her children might be suffering from feeling incompetent. I was what you might call a black person.
Oh, my God, how dare you speak about my children like that? My children
Yeah, but I mean, you spoke about them, that you had your four children and you pushed them out.
I did. That's a personal matter. I felt unconfident after having children.
I just feel sorry for this generation that they have to feel.
Well, I feel sorry that you're even voicing opinion here.
Sorry.
Who are you? What do you contribute to this community? Or society?
I have contributed a whole lot, let me tell you, that I'm not going to share with you.
Okay, so what
do
you work at?
It's not the issue. The issue is whether or not Love Island portrays women and men.
Okay, hang on one second. One voice, please, Ava. I'll let you back in. Sorry, Marion. Sorry, we just have one voice because nobody can hear anything. Your point, please.
My point is, I agree with that lady, the first lady. I don't have her name.
That's Jane.
She is totally right in what she's saying. It is that programme portrays young girls and young men in a very undignified way. The lady is right to do something to develop their confidence is what we should be doing for these people. The world is a very hard place out there, and it's not about how you look. It's how your mind and how you feel about yourself is it. And getting a skinny waist or a big bust or lips, you know, will do nothing for your confidence.
Well, honey, can I ask
in
you,
the long
what do you,
term
what do
of
you look
developing
like?
As a person?
Oh. What is your appearance? Are you happy in yourself? Are you in your? Are you a
I'm
happy
100%
person?
Happy in myself.
That's amazing, but that's not everybody, honey. And you have to be respectful. You have to be respectful that there is people with these confidence issues. And if you are the type of person who I would refer to as a Karen, like that's your opinion, Karen.
No, I'm sorry now. I'm not talking about, I absolutely, totally agree there's a lot of people out there who are suffering with the lack of confidence.
So why be so judgmental? Everyone is entitled to
their own opinion. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just, I wish we could support them in a more long-term way.
Absolutely, I wish too, but we're not living in that world anymore.
Have you any idea what way you are going to look when you get to my age?
I will be absolutely unbelievable because I will continue to get surgery and I'll continue to look 20 years younger than everyone my own age.
I don't think so.
Ava, what
do you... Well, I'm sorry, honey.
Ava, you're watching Love Island, are you?
I am, yes.
What do you think of the whole Be Kind, you know, hashtag Be Kind movement around the series?
Absolutely, I totally agree with people being kind. Absolutely. And people deserve the right to do what they want with themselves and not be judged on that. People... It's a very common thing nowadays for people to have surgery. It's very common for people to want to get themselves fixed. I have seen women that are in their 40s.
Do you not think that what you're talking about is really a first world problem and that maybe we should be thinking about people?
Yes, because I do believe how people feel about themselves. And if somebody sees their overweight stomach in a mirror and, you know, they've had weight problems their whole life and they feel as though they want to have a gastric band because they are so self-conscious because they can't, they can never fit into a size 8 skinny jeans. So yes, absolutely. Does that person need help and support with that? Yes. Can they do that in a gym? Yes. But what, are they still going to be judged?
That's a slightly different problem now than somebody getting their lips done.
Would you judge somebody who's going to a gym to lose weight? Because you are judging this person because they can't lose weight
naturally. No, because they're increasing their cardiovascular fitness by going to the gym and improving their life. You are not doing that by having your lips done and your eyebrows done and your all of that.
Understandably, not everyone is so gifted in life to be able to go to a gym and lose weight. Not everyone has them.
Everybody
genetics.
Can walk. It's free.
Honey, you don't sound like the type of person who does any of that, to be quite honest.
I do.
Oh, no?
Really?
Ava, hashtag be kind.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Hashtag
excuse
be
me.
Kind.
Yeah, okay,
no,
you
I
know what? We're going to take...
Generation of girls and boys are being... they're just not getting any support in the right sense of getting support to grow up well. It is probably a first world problem more than anything else, and that we haven't got other issues to get on with.
Okay.
But I do think that that programme certainly demeans them. That's
okay, will you stay there,
Marion,
for a moment, and Ava and Jane, because I want to take a quick break, but we'll come back to this in a moment.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I want to go now to Paula. Paula, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
You've been listening to our discussion on plastic surgery.
I have. And look, Katie, I'm a mother of four daughters and they range from 16 to 30. So, you know, they've often been discussing Love Island and all the different ins and outs of it. But one of the things that I'm often saying to them is, you know, all of that is fake and they know it. But still, even though they're very sensible girls, the message that has been given is that surgery is the way to go these days to be considered beautiful. Now, I'm not knocking anybody that's done it, but as a mother of four girls, I know how much time I've put into telling them, listening to them. And then I have a 30-year-old and a 16-year-old. That's the range. The 30-year-old a few years ago would have been, oh, this is not, that's not the right shape. This is not the right size, the usual. And what I would say is fashions change. Nowadays, you have people having surgery to have their bums enlarged or the breasts enlarged or whatever. If it really is necessary, by all means, but to do it for fashion's sake or to do it for just purely the aesthetics and being accepted, I think it's such a dangerous thing to do.
And what would you class as absolutely necessary?
Well, I'd say if you needed to, say, have a breast reduction because you had, say, very large breasts and they were causing chronic back pain, I'd say, yes, go and do that. That's a medical procedure you're going to have to improve the quality of your life. It's still a major surgery and it would still require a lot of thought. But to do it and to send the message to young, impressionable girls that you cut this part and you enhance that part. And you know, at the end of the day, they haven't seen what they're going to be like in another 10 years. Do you know, so there is a line that you can actually say, yes, this is necessary and this is a whim, a fashion, following someone. Like Ava did say there that she is a role model to many, and that is a very serious responsibility to have. So to be the best person and the best version of your own individual self is obviously everybody's ambition. But to include surgery in that, I think it really needs to be addressed.
I actually respect your outlook. You know, you seem like a really sensible person. And obviously, speaking from a mother's perspective, that's what I was trying to get across. For me, I have daughters too. And exactly, you want to set an example and be a role model to your children. But I'm put in a position where I'm a role model to a lot of young women. And I don't think it's acceptable to do follow the leader or do it for fashion sense. But as I try to explain, I have had four children, and you know, in that situation, this was something that I wanted to get done and I needed to get done. Like if I used had seen my before pictures to my after pictures, it was necessary. It was necessary to do that for myself as being a person. But no, I would never recommend anyone, especially someone under the age of 21, to follow a trend of cosmetic surgery. Like, at least you speak a bit of normality. Do you know what I mean? Like, I respect your views. Absolutely, 100% respect your views.
Ava.
And, you know, Ava, I think, you know, to come back with that, and the show opened up, or the topic opened up with Jane talking about Love Island. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we started with this whole conversation. And it is Love Island that goes out and it is impacting thousands of people.
Look at Moira Higgins as an example, which the lady at the start brought up. And that girl has no cosmetic surgery. That girl has nothing, but she is now a multi-millionaire. Yes, a lot of young people have surgery, but I don't think it's dictating to the world to go get cosmetic surgery. That's them people's choices. Why is nobody dissing men here? It's what I don't understand.
Well, I think I wouldn't encourage if I had a son, which I don't, but I do have nephews. And if say, any of my nephews were going to go under plastic surgery or procedures that were dangerous, or that in a few years' time, any procedure is dangerous. Yeah. So it isn't like, you know, Maura Higgins and all the rest of it, yes. And the point that Jane made was those girls are beautiful, but they don't see that they're beautiful. And yeah. if you have a standard of beauty that is, cosmetic,
yeah,
with regard to makeup and so on, that's fine. We all use makeup. We all dye our hair. We all get our nails done. It's yeah. not the same as having surgery. Now, you had your reasons, Ava.
Yeah, Paula,
you had your children.
Can I put to you, Paula, that girl that we spoke about, the Faye, who got the boob job from her parents for her 18th birthday?
Yeah.
The reality is she wouldn't be on this program if she hadn't had that surgery.
That's a fact. I agree with that.
This is what society has done. It has commercialized and it has sexualized to an extent. Why would that girl not have been on that show? What kind of show is it that you have to have a certain this and a certain that? And that's the message that young girls are getting as well. If you don't have this done or that done, sure, you won't get ahead, or you won't be noticed, or you won't get the photo shoot.
Are you propagating that message, Ava?
To be quite honest with you, right? I only started my modelling career, and I only started getting noticed in with the media and on TV. I feel as though because I have had surgery, I feel as though that is how I got ahead in life. Like, to be quite honest, like, I didn't do it at the time to get media or fame or photo shoots or anything like that. But it landed on my lap when I did, you know. So, like, it wasn't like I chose that lifestyle. I went and got my surgeries due to me having children. But I was, like, 22 and I had boob job and I had a bum job. And I had my lips done and Botox, and I started getting very well known because of that. And I started speaking about it because it was a taboo here in Ireland. And I've been in the industry 10 years now, you know.
Ava, sorry for interrupting you there. Do you ever feel, when you get a compliment, that are you delighted, or do you feel, well, this is not me? It's all false.
No, I don't feel false. I feel like this is the person who I am. I got surgery done for my own benefits and needs, for what I wanted. So if someone compliments me, I just accept the compliment like a normal person. I don't feel that I'm false. I have a good heart and I'm a good person. But just because my appearance is not what everyone else wants an appearance to be, that doesn't mean that I don't feel any different than anyone else. I'm still a human being. I'm still a mother. I'm still somebody's daughter.
But Ava, nobody is attacking you as a mature adult. I think the issue that we started off with is it's the impact that this show has to normalize this whole industry that is actually pushing onto young people.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even blame it on Love Island, because there's plenty of shows out before Love Island.
Oh, indeed. It's not only Love Island.
We started off with Baywatch, you know what I mean? We had Pamela Anderson before we ever had Love Island, so I don't know why Love Island is getting such a bad, like, name.
Well,
because
Pamela Anderson was playing a character, you know, that was a character in a show.
Exactly,
and
these people are not going in there with real personalities, you know what I mean? This is not real, it's not reality.
Yeah, but no, she was known for the lady with the boobs, you know, and men pass remarks. And I think it's degrading, even if they are false, that men shouldn't do that. But I still think a girl is beautiful as she is and accept for what she is, you know.
Can I bring Lorraine into this? Lorraine, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
You love Love Island.
I love Love Island. I never miss an episode of it. And, you know, why I rang in the first place is I just felt like Jane was being so disrespected by Ava. You know, when she was speaking about her, saying she was so old-fashioned and she didn't know what she was talking about. I'm the same age as Ava. And I love looking at the girls and everything. To me, they look fake. You know, you say, oh God, her lips are fake, her boobs are fake. You know they're fake. If that's a look you like, fair enough. If you don't, I don't know if it's an inspiration for most people to want to look fake. Like, the point of cosmetic surgery really would be to improve your looks, to look better. Not to say, oh my God, this girl looks amazingly fake. But the girls do look fake. Like,
Can I just ask, am I just getting bombarded with Karens here? Because I can't continue this if I'm just going to deal with people who are so negative. Because no one's
you're negative. You're the one who's negative.
I don't feel as though I am.
You call Jane an old age, old-fashioned pensioner for having a view.
I was being honest on my views, and I just believe her views were old-fashioned. And
you're
allowed her to be old-fashioned, if that's what you call it.
She referred herself as being a pensioner, and I just literally said that's what she claimed to be. So I was
you called her an old-age pensioner.
Ava,
that's what she said she was.
Ava, what do you think is what is a Karen to you?
That is what she said. Sorry,
she didn't say she was old-fashioned. She said that she was anything but approved, and I believe her views are old-fashioned.
I believe her views are old-fashioned.
Ava.
But you're not speaking for the generation of your age.
I'm speaking for myself.
You're not.
I was brought on here from my point of view.
But you're trying to say that that she's old-fashioned, that our age, our age in the 30s, mothers, that we all have the same opinion. Not everyone has that opinion, honey.
Not everyone. There's like four people on this phone show, and not everybody has that same opinion.
One person has the opinion that you have.
Well, okay, let me bring in.
On for this reason.
Let me bring in somebody who has also a good experience of cosmetic surgery. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Yes, I was really interested to come online because I actually had a breast reduction myself 2 years ago in Blackrock Clinic. I'm 50 now, I had it at 48. Couldn't recommend it highly enough. Absolutely delighted.
So how long had you kind of struggled with this then? Was this your whole life, adult life?
Well, I was always a large girl. I'm 5'2.5". I'm very small, very petite. And I was always around D-E-double-D-E. When I had my children, I had them late. I had in my late 30s. And after my second child, I just exploded. Absolutely exploded. I was up to an FG cup, H.
Not comfortable at all.
No, and I'm very, very small. And the first thing people saw were my boobs. You know, so I was fed up going into Ireland, spending €300 on bras. And I was just unhappy. Really unhappy. And it psychologically, it was really affecting me. I hated going out on holidays every year. I hated getting a swimsuit to try and fit me. It was a nightmare. You know, but even saying all that, I do appreciate it's a first world problem. But for me, I had the opportunity to have it done and I couldn't recommend it highly enough. Now, in saying that, my mother, I did discuss with my mother. She's a lady in her late 70s and she would have always said, oh, don't do it. Be happy what God gave you. And I respected that, really respected that. But my husband is a pharmacist. I did lots of research into it. I did lots of research into good surgeons. And I thought about it seriously for a year before I booked myself in to have the surgery.
But
do you think that's the same thing as the girls, just say, like, what's her name, Sharon or Faye on Love Island, cannot even drink out of a cup. Their lips are so big, they have to sip barely through a straw. Do you think that's the same thing? More of a medical thing, like, you know, your weight and your back and everything can be affected by that.
It's very difficult to call what's medical and what's psychological, in my view. I think personally, like, these ladies, I don't watch Love Island. These are women that, in their 20s and 30s, they're unhappy.
They're 22. You know, it's so young.
It's very, very, very young. I don't have daughters. I have two boys. But if my daughter came to me at 21, 22, I would say, personally, don't mess with what you have. Wait till you've had your children.
I totally agree.
See how you are. You don't know what's going to happen in your life. Wait until you've had your babies, you've had your family, you're established. And then if it's really, really causing you awful problems and you're so unhappy, then look in, find your surgeons, do your research, and at that point make a decision. And I think you should discuss it with your partner as well, because it is major, it's not major surgery, but it is painful.
You are recovering
for a month.
I was just going to ask you about that, actually, because it's not a small operation, breast reduction.
No, well, I had two sections, which were, the second one was pretty tough because there's 2 years between my boys and I had them in my late 30s. So that was difficult. Having a breast reduction, you're going into breast tissue. It's not the same as going into your abdomen. So it's not on a, on a, on a scale of pain, like I would give, say, a cesarean section, I'd give that an 8 out of 10. A breast reduction, I'd give a 5.
Right.
You're in pain. You have a drain coming out of you. The blood is going into cups. You know, you're in hospital for a day, overnight. Like, it's not for the faint-hearted. You really, really have to think about what you're doing. But I'm 50 now, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. I look back and I go, thank God I did it.
Well, I think your view is quite inspiring, to be quite honest, because at least you yourself have had, you know, a good view on having cosmetic surgery, and you've done it for your purposes and your reasons. And, you know, I respect that. And it's not something that, as you said, is for the faint-hearted, and it's not something that you just, you know, decide overnight. And, you know, at least from a perspective, you can understand if a person is feeling so low or so bad about themselves. And it's something that, you know, like, it's something that, you know, going to see a counsellor cannot fix. It's something that's in your head, and it's something that you're living with.
Did you get, Siobhan, support from doctors when you were, you know, were looking into this?
My surgeon's wonderful. I couldn't recommend her highly enough. She was a private surgeon, worked at a Black Rock clinic, and so empathetic, lovely lady. In terms of support, my husband was absolutely wonderful. He's a pharmacist. His brother is a doctor. So I had great support around me, you know, and my children were young when I had it. I mean, I have a 10 and 12-year-old, so they were 8 and 10. So, and unfortunately, following that, I did actually have brain surgery. But that was an aside thing. It's just one of these things that happened 5 weeks later in Beaumont Hospital.
Oh, my God.
But never for one moment when I was sick in Beaumont did I say, I regret having my breast reduction. I was so thrilled I had.
Oh, my God. You're so woman.
But that's a medical reason like you probably had back pain and a reduction.
No,
I totally agree.
My back pain was bad. I always had a lot of sciatica. I do a lot of yoga. I still have sciatica. I still carry a lot of tension in my neck. It wasn't the point. It was excruciating. If I would say 60% psychological, 40% pain.
You just didn't want to look like that, Siobhan. That's the bottom line.
I was just so top heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and I just got to a point in my life I felt I really want to do something about this before I'm 50.
Would you consider any other type of cosmetic work? Like,
well, you see, where do you draw the line? You know, I'd love a tummy tuck, but I just think, no way. Painful. Do I really need it? Yeah. Not for me.
What about fillers and Botox?
No, I've no problem with Botox. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. If people want, but I think in your 40s, I don't think in your 20s to 30s.
And I think that's what Jane was saying. Like, the girls are 21, 22.
It's a lot of money. Like, it's €250, like, every time you get 3 sessions done.
You see, what I'm saying is, if you open a magazine today and look at all the falseness, and they're meant to look lovely false. I'm not saying they don't.
Yes, but, I understand but that's society. That's our society.
Yeah, but it's a pity, isn't it, really? It's
well,
given the wrong impression to...
Like, I have boys, they want the latest gear, the latest runners, the latest clothes, you know? And we're living in a different world now, and we're living in a harder world. We're living in a world
that's only clothes.
Pressure.
It's a totally different subject altogether.
But for ladies, it's the same. For young women,
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I mean, you're talking about your body here and having.
I know, but totally hard
and that it can go wrong. I mean, I've seen photographs of girls and they're scarred for life. I mean, in a magazine, and I think that's very sad.
Well, I would recommend that less focus on girls when they're growing up. You know, that princess look, or you know how society can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Less focus on that, and more focus on mental health, confidence, all these things that we need to be doing for our children. So by the time they get to 2021, they're well balanced and they can make decisions for themselves. not based on what they see in the magazine or what everybody else is doing.
Okay, hold that thought, Siobhan, and stay with me. I want to take a quick break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Ava, do you get that reaction of those girls when it was suggested that when Hugo suggested he didn't like the fake look?
Yeah.
And they talked about that it was, they basically equated it with racism almost, the fact that he would have a go at them because of decisions they had made about their own look is the equivalent of having a go at someone. It's not though, really, though, is it?
I do believe it is, because I think it's feminism. Like, you know, I believe he's being sexist, and I believe that them women have rights to their appearance, and I believe that we should be living in a world where we're not being judged on our appearance. If we take it upon ourselves to put ourselves through that pain and through surgery with the costs and the expenses, and put ourselves through that, then who is someone else to judge us for that? Because we are entitled to look how we want to look. We are living in an age where we have fought, especially in Ireland, we have fought for to have women's rights. So therefore, you know, we never got anything easy. And I don't believe that any man should sit there and put a woman down because he's not interested in that. You know, she had a right to say she doesn't like small men, or she doesn't like guys with brown hair, or guys
but
with thin hairlines.
Doesn't he have a right to say, I don't like the fake look?
Absolutely, but he made it an issue where he constantly said it to that girl to pull her down and pull her in her place because of he didn't like what she looked like. How dare somebody do that to somebody else? That is not his
own on the show.
You know, he's entitled to have an opinion. Why would you do that recklessly and make that woman feel less? Because he has no idea who she is, where she comes from, or what she's been through. So therefore, why is he doing this to her public? Not only with everyone that's in a room together, but he's also putting her in a situation where that's being watched all over the place. You know, it's a public live program, and he's putting that girl down. Like, so how dare he do that to her?
Okay, let me bring in Deirdre Ford, Dr. Deirdre Ford. Good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, Deirdre, you're a dermatologist. Am I right?
No, I'm a GP.
You're a GP, but you do...
I'm actually a GP, but I do Botox in my clinic.
Right.
For women. Now, I just got the start of the show because I had to go back to the surgery. But I just wanted to say a little bit about Botox. Obviously, I do it for aesthetic purposes for women who actually need it or want it. Not even need it. If they want it and they come to me, I will absolutely counsel them on what they need. And this is literally just to give them a fresher look, I suppose. It's not that they're, I never do fillers or anything like that. It's just to give them a fresher look around the eyes so they're not that tired. And I'd say the youngest person I've probably given Botox to is 32, and the oldest has been 71.
Wow.
So
is it all women?
Oh, no, I do men as well.
And do you have many men looking for Botox?
I have, probably at the moment, I've about four, but they want everything that can possibly be done with Botox done. So they want bits tweaked here and bits tweaked there. But yes, I do men also.
So if I walked into you tomorrow, Deirdre, and I said, look at me, I need help here, what would you say to me?
So I would first of all, we do the consultation, and I basically look at all your, you know, I look at what I think would actually just enhance you, okay, to make you look a little bit more, awake and fresher, all right? I don't do any of this frozen look or anything like that. So I'll see if the main parts maybe that need something done, like that very, very rigid line between your eyebrows, or maybe you've got really, really deep crow's feet and you want them to sort of soften a little bit, and softening probably is the word that I would use. So we will do the consultation, I will do the before and after photos, and they usually come back maybe after about 4 months, maybe, you know, after about another year. They might come back again, because the more you have it done, the more the less frequent that you're going to need it. And in fact, a dermatologist will actually tell you that if you are going to go down the road of Botox, if you have this in your head in your late 20s or 30s, that you're going to go down that road, you do it sooner rather than later.
But what is too soon? I mean, these girls that are on Love Island are in their early 20s. And
no, that's I do believe that that's a little bit, that's over the top. These girls in their 20s have beautiful skin anyway. They don't need Botox on their face. Whatever about them wanting to have, you know, fuller lips with the fillers, as I say, I don't do fillers. I don't think that fillers can be particularly attractive.
Sorry, Dr. Deirdre, can I cut in here for a second, right?
I know quite a lot,
like, based on fillers and botulinum toxins. And is it not right to say the treatments that you're giving people are actually more dangerous than fillers? Because fillers are hyaluronic acid, which naturally is in the skin. So what you're giving to people is Botox, which botulinum toxin, which actually is a toxin that can paralyze somebody's face. But you're sitting here saying you wouldn't do fillers, which is the only hyaluronic acid that we already have in our bodies.
Okay, let me just clarify there. Botox is not the product that I use. I use anti-wrinkle injections. Botox itself
injections? Is it
Azelor? I use Azelor. Botox is actually a branded name, and that is botulism, all right, okay? I don't use Botox. I use Azelor, and When I trained in the UK in Harley Street, that's where I actually trained. So this is, I use a small amount for a woman who wants to have, and it's an anti-wrinkle injection. Botox seems to be this general terminology going out there now, but I use it to make a woman's face as subtle as she wants it to be, because I don't do a lot of that.
I know myself the difference between Botox, as in Botox the brand, and Azelor. And the treatments that you say that you administer, yes, it's less harmful to the face, but it's also the look that people use if they want the hashtag frozen look, because it's actually what I use in my face, because I don't like the after effects and the headaches I get from botulinum toxins.
Okay.
I feel like it's less harsh. Okay, I didn't
hear any of that part on Liveline there. As I said, I was actually just back in my surgery here. But all I'm saying is that I am now 60. I do Botox on myself. I have a bit of Botox on my face too, and I'm not ashamed to say that, because I feel, as a 60-year-old, I actually feel 40. And I probably look about 50, but I am not prepared to, go down the road and just sort of grow old gracefully. This is what I want to
but
do.
Is it once I you start, dear? That. Can I just once you start, is that it? Then you have to. You're kind of on the road then, as in you say you
really,
might come back after 4 months and then maybe a year and.
Yeah, but now, like, even with myself now, I mean, I started using it maybe, and a friend of mine does my Azelor injections, and I only have it around my, I don't do my wrinkles or anything, my frown line, it's just around my eyes, but I don't go back to her every 4 months. I can actually get away for a full year without using anything.
And how much is it? How much are we talking about?
So to get, we do it in areas. So one area obviously would be, the ridge between your forehead, and that area is 150. If you do two areas, it's 250, and three areas, which is really all your eyes, your forehead, and that frown line there, and all of that is 280.
280 for?
Three areas,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as you say, you might have to come back. You have to do it a few times before you sort of can stretch out the length of time between treatments.
Exactly. So say the first time you go, sometimes I would be consulting here in, say, menopause care, because that's what I primarily do. So I've got that age group woman in with me anyway, and she's probably in her 40s or her 50s. And they may look at me and say, you're very fresh looking. And then, not that I'm promoting Botox, but I'll say, I actually do have good skin anyway. I never had to use, as I said, anything on my forehead. But she will ask me then about Botox, and I'll say, well, look, at, you know, this would be lovely here for you. And they may come back maybe 4 months later, but they might need it again then maybe for 9 months.
Right.
Okay. But that's about, this is about a different generation of women now who are menopausal, who are feeling absolutely terrible. And they want to get their confidence back, and they want to feel like they're alive again, not going around with a fuzzy head and not being able to function. So this is actually enhancing their quality of life too, on top of everything else. If this is what they want, I will give it to them.
Okay. Will you stay there, Deirdre? I need to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I want to go now to Declan. Declan, good afternoon.
Hi.
Declan, you're concerned about this idea of unattainable body standards.
Yeah. So personally, I have a pretty unique perspective on the sort of unattainable body standard because I'm 16, but I'm also trans. So I basically kind of fit into that idea of constantly being judged for my appearance whenever I go. And it's possibly even worse for me because when I'm being constantly judged for my appearance, people are making these assumptions about me based on my appearance and things about my appearance that I'm possibly very insecure about. I have quite a feminine face. So it's obviously pretty difficult for me to sort of pass as male. And when I go in somewhere and I am being perceived as female by people, those people will use, like, my, say, a name or pronouns for me that make me feel really uncomfortable. So my perspective on this is that I guess that I think that it's really important for people in this country to understand that my access to getting any sort of health care, to getting any sort of bodily modifications that will help me, is limited by the fact that I need to get a lot of therapy before I even consider going for this. And personally, I think that such a system should be put in place for people who want to receive plastic surgery.
Yeah, so you think that when you hear about somebody like Ava, maybe that has done a lot of plastic surgery, that if you as a trans person wants to go down that road, there are, you know, big obstacles you've got to jump over in terms of the amount of counselling you have to get first, and that should be par for the course for everyone contemplating cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, I do, because at first I had a different perspective on it because I was always like, well, why should I have to get like therapy before I decide to transition? Why can't I just do it now? But having undertaken the therapy, it's really helped me understand what parts of my body that I really need to focus on if I get it. And it also has helped me understand that I previously was like, yeah, I'm going to fully transition when I'm older and when I'm able to. But through doing this therapy and through doing this counselling, I've discovered that I don't really need to do everything. Like, I first thought I was going to get, like, a full bottom surgery. And that's extremely dangerous, obviously, because you're messing around with some extremely, like, really fragile parts. But I now know from doing that therapy that I don't really need it. But if you had asked me before, I would have said, yes, absolutely. And that's what I mean by people should have to go get therapy before they get cosmetic surgery.
But I suppose Ava might say, Declan, that, you know, what you're doing or what you're contemplating and thinking about doing is such a dramatic change. Whereas she's, you know, aren't people who are doing her kind of plastic surgery, it's tweaking this and tweaking that and enhancing this. It's not quite as dramatic as the surgery you're having to consider.
Yes, but I do think it should be something smaller. Like, I'm not saying, oh, 2 years of therapy for everyone considering cosmetic surgery. I'm just saying that maybe they should go see some, like, a couple of people beforehand, not and specifically talk about why they want to get that therapy done. And another issue that I had with her was that she was speaking about getting cosmetic surgery in a way that was quite irresponsible, in my opinion, because she offered it as a solution to the body standards imposed on her. But my response to that would be to change the system rather than to change the body. It just seemed like she had a very cynical outlook on how we could change the beauty standard in our society. There has always been beauty standards, and there has always been toxic beauty standards. Even when the older women that were on, she was saying that they didn't understand. But there has always been a toxic beauty standard for women. It's just changed throughout the years. And I think that's what she wasn't quite getting across. Of course, it's women's choice whether they want to get plastic surgery or not. But you have to consider the fact that there is a societal pressure behind it that she simply decided to ignore. And I don't know whether she didn't see it herself or whether she was just choosing to ignore it. But there is a very, obviously, a very toxic beauty standard related to programs like Love Island and related to social media, and indeed related to how men perceive women and how the world perceives women as beautiful, that she just didn't seem to understand.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if Ava is still with us, but I think Ava would say that she was, you know, navigating the world that she found herself in, and this was the best thing for her.
I was like thinking about that. And if it is the best thing for her, then that's great. Personally, I don't have any problem with people getting plastic surgery. It's just the way in which plastic surgery is faced as an alternative to attempting to change a patriarchal set of values that is placed on women from birth. I mean, obviously, I've faced it as well, and I am not very skinny. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm quite short as well. And so I've always found it hard to, you know, buy clothes that are nice. I've always found it difficult to, you know, maybe like try and get a boyfriend when I was younger before I knew I was trans. And it's just a very irresponsible outlook, in my opinion, to speak about plastic surgery as your own choice without considering or without bringing up those factors. You know?
Okay, I think we have lost Ava for the time being. Declan, wise words from somebody so young, from somebody of any age, actually. Many thanks for bringing that to us. I'm going to have to take my last break now. It's 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I want to bring in Joyce now. Joyce, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, Joyce, you're a nurse.
Yeah.
And you are concerned that people are not understanding the seriousness of the kind of surgery we're talking about.
Exactly. Okay, there's two things. One is I really admire Declan earlier on because she sounds so mature. And obviously she's so committed to counselling and all of that preparation.
Just to get our pronouns right, it's he, Joyce.
Oh, sorry, yes. Declan, he. Sorry. Of course, he. So, yes. So, but in relation to cosmetic surgery, yes, if it's medically required and if the lady and the client or the patient or whatever you want to call them are medically assessed and they have no underlying medical issues, well, and if it's affecting their quality of life, regarding, say, a breast reduction or whatever, which it might cause upper back pain, which I have experienced with patients with that. So I think it's very, very, very important that patients or people or clients who want alternative cosmetic surgery, that it's not done too early. I agree with another caller earlier on. Very, very important. leave it in the litter. And because it's just, you never know what surgery you may need later on in life. And it's not that you should be thinking about the future, but how important is that? What are the risks? And because an anaesthetic is no joke, as I've had many necessary surgeries, and I can tell you, I'd love to have my veins done in the morning, but I'll certainly think I will not, because you have to look at the quality of life following the pain, the post-operative, any risks, not that I've had any, but an anaesthetic is no joke. It's not just the pain, it's just, are you going to be okay with the anaesthetic? They're just risky, and so while surgery is necessary, very important, is the outcome going to be better and the patient's quality of life, et cetera, et cetera. But it should be taken more seriously. And I think Declan is right, he was saying, regarding counselling. There should be counselling for, you know, every single surgery. The risks.
And there isn't any, is there, for just if you were going for, say, as you said, breast reduction or breast augmentation, there isn't any requirement to speak to anybody about the implications of that, is there?
Well, of course, no, the surgeons are fantastic. They would go through all, like for any anaesthetic, they would go through all the necessary procedures that they would have to go through if and only if there was a problem. So they're excellent at that.
Yeah, but in terms of the psychological, you know, impact or the reasons you're doing that, that's not something that needs to be clarified.
But the GP would be very, very good at that. Yeah. That would be the introduction to them as well. And of course, then if the client or the person is adamant, well, then if they want to see somebody to help them out, fantastic. But preparation is the most, and to listen, just, and not to do it too young.
Okay.
That would be all my points.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Joyce. I want to bring in, because we're running out of time now, there's a couple of more people I would like to get in. Paula, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're very happy with the work you've had done.
I had a tummy tuck because I had this excess, as the surgeon described it, as an apron. No amount of exercise or anything, and it really affected my self-esteem. And the worst was, on one occasion, somebody asked a friend of mine if I was expecting again, and I most certainly wasn't, but it just folded and dropped and the rest of me was much smaller. And
this is post-pregnancy, was it?
Well, it was years post-pregnancy, like it was 15 years post, you know, the last one, through, you know, big babies, and you're left. And if you can do that, I would say go for it. And I had a breast reduction as well for the same reason, breastfeeding. You know, you're left in a very bad shape. But I would stress how important it would be to get these procedures done in a hospital and not a beauty clinic where these surgeons are flown in for the day. Because I've known of people who have had terrible experiences. And like the caller before you, I was in the Blackrock Clinic. And
you're delighted with...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm now in my 60s and best thing ever, you know. And I don't make any secret of it. Sometimes
I get it. If you're not into fake stuff or girls that look really fake, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's something broke through there, Paula. Sorry.
Yes.
But yeah, so you're saying...
Go medically.
Be careful who you... Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go the beauty route. Don't go looking up, you know, a computer to find, you know, a surgeon who will do this, like in a clinic, you know, a beauty clinic.
Yeah.
Go
to
a... Route.
Yeah, to recognise hospital...
Go... you know, find out if any of your friends got it done, who they went to, and just ask your GP for a letter of referral to that surgeon who specialises in that, in a fully recognised proper hospital that, in you know, in case something went wrong, that they have all the support there.
Okay.
And you're not just in a clinic.
Okay, thank you for that, Paula. I just have 1 minute left. I want to squeeze in a line, a minute with Louise. Louise, good afternoon.
Hi there. Hi, Kate.
As I say, only a minute left, but you're a confidence coach.
I am, and I'm just, you know, slightly scared of the conversation I've been listening to. From get-go, I wouldn't say I'm against plastic surgery, but I think it'd be very important to realise, you know, it's not going to solve your confidence issues. It might be a little support to building and it's confidence booster, but I think really, especially for young women and young people, it's to understand that confidence is an essential element, you know, to really having a happy, fulfilled life where you're going to achieve your goals. But it's not probably going to be solved by getting lip fillers and bum and boob jobs. It's part of it. It's a part of the puzzle. But I think it's going to take some significant work that I see with my clients, you know, over long term, understanding your strengths, developing your strengths and playing to the strengths and not just going the plastic surgery route.
Okay, Louise, I'm going to thank you for that. A very important conversation that has to be opened up, I think, again. But we're going to have to leave it there. Today's programme was produced by Fergus Sweeney. On sound was Dave Gibson. Our BCO was Daniel Keating. And Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. And stand by now for Brenda Donoghue up next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.